all of the great teachers of the world have given us a radiant, glorious picture of that which is waiting us. They've all given us the vision of that which comes to those who transcend the errors and follies of their times. And we have been given several great religions, which may differ in the names they have given, but are essential and identical in their teaching, that it's only those who live the life that can ever know the doctrine. So in little ways we can start living it, and in living it little ways we will grow in righteousness. So this is our job. This is nothing terribly difficult. All we have to do is to prepare to live quiet, moderate lives. False ambitions have slain the ages. The glory of Alexander is gone. Caesar is dead at Pompey's Pollo. Hitler and Mussolini have gone their way. All of the great dictators have left, and left nothing behind but monuments to sorrow. Little dictators have the same fate. Those who create a business and then bankrupt it for profit. All kinds of efforts to grow rich over the poverty of others. All of these things are part of a way of life that has come to too many people now. A way of life that has resulted in the fact that our ingenuity has outstripped our integrity. We can invent many things, but we do not know how to use them. And that which we do not use, we will abuse. Once upon a time, there was a Roman who, digging in his garden, found a pot of gold. And he wrote a letter to the emperor. And he said, "I have found a pot of gold. What shall I do with it?" And the emperor wrote back and said, "Use it." And the man wrote again to the emperor and said, "Sire, I do not know how to use it." And the emperor replied, "Then abuse it." And that is exactly what happened. We have so many ways of getting things, but not very many good ways of using them. To have a thing means the power, when in reality it is an opportunity to grow. And unless we make more use of these opportunities, things are going to get worse. Now we face a few years and a great transition. There is bound to be a major change. We're asking for it. Or if we're not asking, we're acting for it. We are demanding it. And out of this is coming some very interesting things. It isn't all bad news. There are some tremendous efforts being made now. People are growing as they haven't in a long time. There's a certain and definite reason for believing that the individual is beginning to know that he is not something with a free will in space, but that he is a creature under law, and that this law is a law of wisdom and mercy. As more and more the individual is becoming aware that out of his own integrity must come his own salvation. Realizing this and living accordingly, we can make a very powerful and positive contribution to the future of our people. There is no reason why we cannot do something every day to justify the belief that we are really working for a good cause. Now, as we here are trying to do a little something to help out as much as we can, and we are most grateful for the wonderful help we have received. And we suddenly discover that in our own little world, there are people who want to live well, who want to do better, who want to think better, who want to add something to the substance of life. They are tired of the bridge parties and the drink fests. They are tired of the waste and luxury and the morning after. And they are more and more hurt by the ravages of narcotics. And now morality has come in, and the sicknesses of immorality weigh heavy upon the race. We are amidst of great evidence of being wrong. And we are also well shown what is right. We realize that rightness is beautiful, good, true. That rightness is something that we can teach to our children without shame. Rightness is something that we can try to live every day without apology. Rightness is a dedication of some part of our life to usefulness. It is to maintain the thing. We have now a great emphasis upon freedom, upon individual rights. The individual has the feeling that he is perfectly justified in walking out on his family, deserting his friends, and turning against his nation simply because he must be free. What is freedom? To him, freedom is the gradual building of a cage which once has captured him. He is worse enslaved than in any other way. Freedom is really a form of self-slavery for most people. It is the individual putting his own likes and pleasures ahead of the common good and his own well-being. So these answers are not practical in our time. And we're looking around and we're seeing the gradual development of religion in a new way. We are coming closer and closer to a unity of faith, which will be a tremendous step in the right direction. We are also coming to realize that religion is not simply attending a place of worship. It is bringing the truth of life into the home, into the family, and into the business. The real religion is in the shop, in the house, in the school, in the hospital, in the courts. Religion is not something to talk about theology. It is to live the golden rule, to keep the Ten Commandments, and to realize that regardless of all our sophistication, we will never be able to outgrow the Decalogue or the Sermon on the Mount. These are inevitable and eternal fixtures. We can break them, but we suffer. We can keep them, and we will get well. And this is something each person does for himself. He does not do it because his neighbor has done it, or because the community is doing it. Maybe he hopes it will. But even if the community is doing it, unless it is a personal dedication of his own, it will not bring an end to his own misunderstandings and misuses of power. So we hope that everyone will remember a little bit that this golden wedding garment is also, according to St. Paul, the garment of divine love. It is love rising triumphant. It is the proof that when we really, sincerely love, we serve. And when we really, really love, we give. And when our emotions are false, we take. So in this we have also the inspiration that for most people, love has been made a stranger. We hardly even love our own anymore if they interfere with our ambitions. We will desert those nearest to us if they hamper our freedom. Everything must be freedom. But no human being who is ignorant is free. And no human being who can be free, who holds immoral, unethical, or materialistic institutions as important. We all have to recognize that freedom is the privilege to be right, and that this privilege belongs to us all. And the reward of it is freedom from the disasters of our mistakes. And there is no way we could ever win this battle. Look at the sky. Look at the stars. We can run a long time before we can rule them, or go out and even explore them, or take a chance to visit one of them without imperiling our own lives. We cannot change the infinite. But we don't need to, because the infinite is right, and we have no rightness greater. And the infinite is infinite love, infinitely manifested throughout infinite time and infinite space. And in this divine love, we live. And as we live it, gradually it moves into us and becomes this radiant body of the soul. And the soul is the love in us, becoming the love of inhumanity for all that lives. And when we have developed this and become part of a universe of love, we will have no more worry over the sins of the flesh. They will correct themselves beautifully. The little children will not be deserted. They will not come into the world sick to death before they are hardly born. These things must change. A genuine regard coming from within ourselves will not only help this, but when we begin to practice this, the light of the soul inside of us will grow brighter and brighter until soul power becomes master over all the brute force of the world, as it was mentioned by Mohandas Gandhi, so that all things are safe only when love makes the rules. And these rules made by love are found in all the great religions of the world and also are inevitable and eternal in the human heart. Thank you.